All righty, boys. It's championship week, and it's time to get into championship form. Danny, I know that you are primed and ready to go. You've got the bear nuts. Arts, I believe you have secretly kept that you've got bear butts just hiding around the house. I'm always good with the wood, so I'm primed with my body powder. But for those that aren't primed and ready to go, it's time to get into championship form with one of our major sponsors, Nutcare. Nutcare is proudly Australian and is taking down and a grooming to the modern day man. It's always pretty recent, been voted the number one
weekly
grooming brand's care with bear nuts, as you just showed up on the screen, Karts. The pubic hair removal cream, Nutcare, is revolutionising male grooming. It's a Friday. I'm feeling a bit tongue-tied. As proud supporters of Any Given Sunday, and all of our sponsors are the same, use the code Any Given Sunday, all one word, for 10% off your first order at the checkout, and a discount will be applied. Nutcare is essential grooming for men, boys.
And it'll make you smoother, Landry.
Brown 45! Yes. Brown 45!
You are listening to Any Given Sunday, Australia.
Yes, hello and welcome to the Any Given Sunday Australia podcast, the number one podcast in at least three households, one studio, Gridiron Australia head office, NFL Australia head office, ABC studios, all around the States, all around Canada. We are growing and it is very, very exciting. Joining us, as always, is the ever reliable TC24 at Tim Carty, AGS AU. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. Don't forget the trail Danny Boy left of Europe.
Yes.
So, you know, a bit of the northern, like the Scandinavian region, the United Kingdom, definitely. We've seen spikes in the analytics.
100%.
Also, we can't forget all the support we get from all the crew at work as well. Got sent a photo last night from Utah of people rocking our merch. It was actually merch volume 2 as well. Like, that's some vintage merch. So I'd love to see it.
Let's go.
Bloody earth. I do get a lot of photos of merch floating around. I've got to put them up and be a bit better at that.
Merch on tour. Merch on tour is good fun.
Merch on tour is good fun. And as you've heard, joining us is our work experience kid turned pro. I actually don't know if I've said that for a while. You're a genuine pro now. At Danny Webb, AGSAU, how are you, mate?
Yeah, I feel like I lost my pro status because I took a bit of Daniel Lee, but you just plucked that right away from me, but give it back.
You're back. You've strung a few weeks together. You've just remembered how it all rolls. You're back.
Straight back in the swing of things. Just ready to knock this one out of the park.
Yeah, it was a very, very exciting week, very big week for four teams in particular, not as big for the other four. A few coaching roundabouts have got off the roundabout.
Maybe the
carousel. Yeah, they've all jumped off or jumped on, whichever way you want to look at it, which we will go through soon. But it was a big week, our divisional week. I was going to say wildcard weekend. No, divisional week. Four teams, as I said, have moved on to the championship week, which we will get into. Four big games. The biggest game, obviously, probably the last one, if we're honest. It lived up to its hype, the Bills and the Chiefs, the three-point margin in the end there. But we're going to start right at the very start. The Ravens taking on the Texans. The Ravens getting the job done. Was there any surprises in there for you boys or just Lamar doing Lamar things?
It was good to see the Texans like really held their own for the first half. And it was looking ultra competitive. Then Lamar's obviously gone back and said something at halftime, which he didn't announce. But he's said that he said something. It really, whatever he did, whatever he said, the Ravens came out looked like a completely different team in the second half and absolutely dominated. And their defense stood up as well. So it was just a really solid performance. They're looking like a threat. They're looking like a very, very big threat.
And I think, like, as well, kind of important to note, like, Houston's only touchdown was from a punt return as well. So Baltimore's, like, highly – I think – what did you say, Macca? Like, you've always said they're kind of the one or two defense in the league all year.
Yeah. Secretly. So, we didn't know for a long time.
Standing out, and, like, Houston definitely have overachieved for where everyone had them at the start of the year. And, like, this was kind of the only blowout game of the weekend. Like you said, Danny, in it to halftime, but then I think just the class of the Ravens and Lamar kind of came through, and that was pretty expected. Like, obviously the Ravens smashed the line there. Pretty easy to sort of take that one before the game.
Well, it was 10-10 at halftime, and like you said, we're not going to say too much, but I think there was a little bit of rust from the Ravens, just to, you know, that week off, just getting into the groove of things again, and coming out second half. Well, they put 17 on in the fourth quarter alone, so
they just need a little wake up each from Lamar at halftime, and off they went back into business as usual.
With the 2-1 seeds versus, you know, seventh and fourth seed, it was the two different games. One was a 3-point thriller, and the other one was what it ended up being 34-10.
24.
What I'm trying to ask, I guess, and we'll start with you, Cass, is being such a blowout. Are they going? Would you rather have a blowout victory or a tight one where you're going, all right, look, San Fran, all week that would have been, you know, we got a knuckle down, we can't have that happen again. Where are you worried that the Ravens are going to go in there a little bit lackluster and not be quite ready?
Nah, again, and like, there's always arguments for both sides. Like, for the blowout victory, the Ravens would be like, yeah, we've blown out the rust, we got back to playing the way we wanted to play. But then same thing for the 49ers. They'll be like, yep, that was a good tight game, we only got up by three, but geez, we didn't play that well, but we got it done and we've blown out the rust. So I think both teams will be positive. Like, there's positives to either the big blowout win or the close, hard-fought win like the 49ers had over your Green Bay Packers, who are now knocking out of the playoffs.
And it's something we haven't really spoken about too much, but the Ravens, like, with their ability to blow out teams throughout the whole season, they've actually managed to rest a lot of players in the fourth quarter, which we haven't really delved too deeply into. But it's obviously made a massive difference that they can, you know, did a couple of guys in the fourth, so then they're coming out fresh for their next game in the next week, not picking up these niggling little injuries. So they have been managed to stay like competitive the whole way through, which is huge, which is a massive advantage, and it's something they're going to need going into, like, you know, when they go and face the Chiefs next week.
Yeah. Speaking of niggling injuries, that's a nice little segue from Dr. Danny himself. 49ers versus the Packers, like you said, 21-24. 49ers getting the job done with a last quarter drive. Brock Purdy not looking amazing all day, but coming good when he needed to. But Debo Samuel, Dr. Danny, have you heard anything? What, a little bit of a stinger on the shoulder? Is he going to be all right?
Yeah, it's a tough thing with a shoulder injury, where, like, you know, he kind of needs it for his, like, tuck and run and his catching ability and stuff like that. But the 49ers have a shocking history of, when Debo's out, of actually losing majority of the games that he's not playing. Like, there's a, like, you know, direct correlation between that. And I think that showed when you're playing the Packers that, you know, Brock, definitely his accuracy wasn't there. He was not playing, like, to his normal form. And the Packers nearly ran away with it if it wasn't for that missed field goal, which practice field goals, kids.
We've already signed a kicker.
Yeah.
So is Anders cut?
But I think it's competition for the
competition now.
I wouldn't be surprised if we draft one as well. So there's three, maybe four in there really competing. I don't hate it.
Yeah, it's exactly what you need. You can't, like, because the Packers were ultra competitive. What was it, 6-7 at halftime? Then Packers went on to, like, score, I think it was 15 or something in the third. Like,
yeah, two touchdowns. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but then had absolutely nothing in the fourth, which killed you. So that field goal would have tied the game, and then who knows what happens in overtime.
Well, and then your thoughts, Macca, on obviously the last play, or so that your last play of the season. Like, Jordan Love, he'd been looking good for, I think he was on like a really hot 8-game streak. And then, like, his final play, thrown across his body in the middle of the field, like, easy pick for the 49ers. Like, that's kind of been the only chink in his armor that kind of popped up of late. Like, your thoughts on him taking the play there? And obviously, like, he's still your guy moving forward. But, yeah, just what was your thoughts seeing that? Because there's still quite a little bit of time. That was first and 10.
51.
Didn't need to throw that there. There was still plenty of time. Get 51, down the field. Yeah.
51 seconds on the clock. That's heaps. That's heaps of time to, like, just check it down and have another play.
Sorry. And, like, is your head just rookie quarterback? Like, you know, he's going to be better. He's going to learn from that better for it? Or, like, where's your head at with that?
At the time, it wasn't. Definitely, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
But then sitting there, and, like, I've seen a couple of different angles of it, seeing what he saw. If he was able to, it was just, he underthrew it. Tough throw.
Was going to be hard. throwing across your back.
Extremely hard.
Yeah.
I've never tried to throw that far like that. I'm presuming probably the hardest throw you can attempt. But if he gets it over that defense, we were gone. It was home. So I get it, but you're right. There was so much time. Poor decision.
As well, like it's you're making a miracle throw, or you just throw it away and you go.
And that's right,
you're only first and 10. Like, he didn't need the miracle play right then.
He didn't. And all we can do is hope that he does learn from it and move on. And
yeah. Like, he'd been playing outstanding, like, lights-out football, but that was just that one little chink, and it was glaringly obvious because it was the final play. It was turnover, right, end of the game. Greenlaw didn't want to go down. He just kept running and running. And Greg Olsen was in the commentary box, and he's like, he's got to get down. It's pretty funny.
Kept us with the hope of punch the ball out. It's happened. Yeah, it was a bit greasy. It's happened two or three times during the game.
Once he had that, it was done. Yeah. But, yeah, he could have gone down a little bit earlier, but that was okay. It was a little bit of me time, maybe.
Yeah, and I think there was more moments than just that as well. Like, early on in the game, our first three drives, we got in the red zone and walked away with 6 points, you know, two field goals and a fourth down that, fuck, I reckon we should have almost challenged it. It was pretty bloody close. You know, any of those turn into a touchdown or we kick a field goal on that one, then it's a different game as well. So it wasn't just that last play, but it obviously, like you said, glaringly obvious because it was the last one.
Yeah.
I think we're a little bit more advanced than the Texans, but in the same breath, we were the youngest team in the league all year. No one, except for probably me, gave us a shot of actually making it to where we made it. So
guilty.
Yeah, you got to take this almost a week on. You got to take the positives. It's just we can't have technically a year two decline from Love. We need to see him keep on going and keep the crew around him. And yeah, if there is a year two decline, then I reckon there might be still questions at the back end of next year.
Yeah.
The two games, we've already touched on one of them on the Monday or the Sunday American time. But the first one we haven't spoken about at all, the Lions getting the job done against the Bucks. We said last week was the biggest win in Lions history. Well, the last 32 years at least. I reckon this one qualifies as the next biggest.
Yeah.
This is huge, getting the job done, 31-23 over the Bucks. And it was kind of a game, there was a little bit of controversy at the end about kneeling with 40 seconds.
We'll get to that.
But I think that's a little bit of, like, not here or there kind of thing. But huge for Goff, huge for MCDC to get where they are now. And I reckon they are very quietly confident of getting the job done this weekend. Danny boy?
The momentum is fully in their favour. Like, they've got the whole city behind them. And I've heard a lot of other people talk being like, you know, this is all Detroit hats. Like, they've got the Pistons, but, man, they stink. So
the Red Wings. They got the Red Wings?
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going.
Like, it's a blue-collar town. Like, the sport and it's like what their whole focus is about. And now that the Lions are finally here after so many years, and Goff just, like, you know, threw the ball amazingly. He had 30 completions. He was 30 from 43 for 287 yards, like, with two touchdowns. He's playing well. Jamar Gibbs, like, Montgomery, like, the combination of those two, they're just looking like an absolute solid team. And it's hard to see, like, especially where the 49ers played against the Packers. No offense to your Packers. The 49ers didn't play great.
No. Bit of pressure, it's not all of just them playing bad. I was sick of hearing that, Brock Purdy couldn't hold the ball. Our defensive pressure, not to go backwards, sorry, but our defensive pressure was fucking elite early on. So,
all right, we'll wrap it up then.
Go on.
That's my bad for mentioning them.
Yeah.
It's your fault.
But the Bucks and Baker Mayfield actually put up way more of a fight than I was expecting. Because it kept on going, like, the Lions might get, like, two scores up or whatever. And I was like, oh, cool, the game's over. I can kind of, like, sit back and relax and, like, you know, go back to pottering around my day. But I couldn't. I was so glued to the TV because then, Baker Mayfield would just come back at it. Like, he threw for 349 yards and three touchdowns. Yes, he threw two interceptions and they were bad interceptions. But he was obviously playing for his career. He's playing for another contract and trying to get an extension to potentially either stay with Tampa or move to another team that actually desperately needs him. But they put up way more of a fight than the scoreboard kind of shows, I think. It was their blitzing defense at the start was actually putting a fair bit of pressure on Goff, but then, you know, they worked it out, they overcame it, and like you're saying, this Lion team, I think it's going to go far.
Well, there was a bit of a feeling, and like there was an awesome shot at Aiden Hutchinson at the end of the game. Just sort of, it looked like he's just soaking it all in, taking it all in, looking around, enjoying the crowd. But I saw a couple of people say, yeah, it's a young player soaking it all in, but it's also like he's got unfinished business. Like, and like someone said it, that it was like the Chiefs beating the Bills, they were more excited about that win than all the Lions guys. Like the Lions guys, yep, they're happy, but it's like, all right, on to the next
one.
So definitely feels like they like, you know, they're not done, like in their heads, like they're like, we've got some high expectations here. We got to keep on rolling. Yeah. So with, do you want to touch on the end of the game now?
Sure, mate. What are your thoughts?
Also, watching it live, I was like, Tampa Bay have got a timeout. Like, why aren't they using it? So in my head, I was like, oh, perfect. That's going to be a good question for the potty. Is it a bit of like a gentleman's agreement at this stage in the game? Clearly, they're not going to be able, like the Bucks can't win. Are the Lions just going to victory formation, kneel it out? Then Todd Bowles isn't going to worry about using his timeout. Is that a gentleman's agreement? And then all of a sudden, after the game, there was all the uproar about the Bucks blew it. They had a timeout. They could have done this and that. They were, at the time, they were 8 points down still. So they had to, because Goff knelt early. So the thing was that they could have, I think they would have had to kick a field goal, maybe block a field goal, get it back for a touchdown. Like, so like a lot of stuff had to happen. Like, I think it was a lot of controversy. Like the way some people were talking about it was like, there was a guaranteed chance the Bucks could win. A lot of shit had to happen. I think
that's it. If the Bucks took that time out, they win. It's game over.
Yeah, but I think just so Todd Bowles, I think it was just being realistic about it. But yeah, I just thought in the moment of seeing it live, I was like, oh, they got a timeout, but they're not using it. I was like, oh, it must just be like they've looked across the sideline at each other, the coaches, MCD said, Todd have just been like, yeah, no, this is done. Like, you know, no worries.
I think you're right there, because they did have, so go back to the very first down, you know, they had, even if they took the timeout, it wouldn't have mattered. They could have still knelt the game out. They had the time under their belt. So I reckon there was a bit of a, you know, Todd Bowles going, you know, yous were better than us on the day.
And I think, you know, like, I've heard, like, you know, sometimes it's like, take the headsets off and like that's almost
that's time. It. It's game. We're not calling it. And could, like, have been the ultimate fuck you if he did go, timeout.
Yeah, well, and it wasn't like he wasn't aware they had one. He addressed it in the press conference straight after the game saying, yeah, look, we were 8 points down. They were just going to kick a field goal. And like, you know, so...
Yeah,
it was, exactly. There was a lot of controversy, like a lot of people were like, oh, there's still so much time left. Like, not really.
Yeah. And, well, like you said, I think the second kneel, they did after 16 seconds. So, like, it was 100% just going, you know what?
This is boys. This is done.
Yeah. Enjoy your victory. I don't think a lot of us here quite understand, like, what victory formation, how, you know, it's just kneeling and, I know for a fact that for a QB, to go in and kneel, that is a huge, huge thing. Like, the fact that you can do it and, you know, we can just take a knee and go into a win, well, it's a big deal for them.
And that's, we saw it at the end of the regular season with the Falcons when Artie Smith kicked off, because I can't remember who they were playing, but they lined up in victory formation and then they run a touchdown over them. And Artie Smith got pretty upset about that. So
that was the ultimate disrespect, wasn't it?
It is a little bit of a gentleman's agreement kind of thing to it. Geez, one of the dogs.
Yeah. But 100%, I think Todd Bowles, like you said, took the headphones off, just said, well done, boys. Yeah, enjoy your victory.
Yeah.
Go from there.
Yeah.
I did see some stats. I was trying to find them, but I couldn't quite find them. Of the last time that the Lions were in an NFC Championship game, I think Billy Ray Cyrus had the number one song in Australia.
32 years.
Billy Ray Cyrus. Batman.
Forever
was number one in Australia, which is what, three Batmans ago?
Way more than that.
And there was four teams. I mean, like three Batman franchises ago.
Oh yeah.
And there was four teams that are playing that weren't in existence.
Yeah.
Huge for them to be finally Jared back.
Goff wasn't even born. He was still a couple of years.
And Goff wasn't born. So I don't think I wasn't born yet. So, and Danny. You were definitely not born.
None of us were born, were we?
Oh, sir.
Daddy, you were 10?
I might have been kicking around.
You were playing Auskick. But no, huge for them and awesome. And I am looking forward to it. Just the the pressure that they can bring, I reckon they are a huge sniff of upsetting. And it'd be just an awesome story.
They're the best story, I feel, of the
team. Are we even calling it an upset? If they go over the 49ers, are we calling it an upset?
Did they finish two or three? Three. Dallas finished two, didn't they?
Yeah.
So they're a good team. It's not, like you said, it's not an upset. They're a good team.
But it would be
going over
who the 49ers are. But also, quickly, just to finish, to end the game as well, another interception. It was thrown by Baker, sorry. Derek Barnes got his first interception in three years.
It's 3 years, yeah. How good was this? They gave him the game ball and he gave it to the DB room.
Yeah.
Nice touch. It's just so many good vibes. So many good vibes coming from the Lions. It's hard not to, even if they're part of my division, I'm still like, you know what, I wouldn't hate it. I don't hate it.
Yeah.
And the final game, Danny, you mentioned was a big one. Chiefs-Bills. Chiefs just got the wood over them in the playoffs. And, Karch, you mentioned it. They celebrated. They loved that, getting that win. But what are your thoughts, Danny, on the game?
I just think it's huge for the Chiefs because they are not used to playing away in the divisional round. And they did go into this and they're not used to putting the crowd to sleep, like making them completely silent. And I think it just really worked in Mahomes' favor. And like, he was just feeding off it. Like, you know, it was to him, I reckon this game was like one of his biggest that he really needed to prove himself. Cause obviously it's been a struggling for the Chiefs standards for their dynasty that they're going on. They've been having a struggling year. So then to go into Buffalo where everyone's like, all right, this is Josh Allen's time. He's finally going to get it done. He's going to get it over Mahomes. Like, this is it. This is their time. Like, they had such a good finish to the end of the season, where the Chiefs were like up and down the whole way. So I think it was just such a massive victory. And then Mahomes finally connected to Kelce again for a touchdown. I think it's the first since week 10, connected on two of them. So now, since then, I think they've got 16 touchdowns in the playoffs, which overtook Brady and Gronk, which, like, Brady even came out and said, he's like, if you can overtake Gronk in anything, like, you are doing something amazing. So, like, it's the Chiefs, like... You can never count them out. You just can't, which is absolutely bonkers.
And Karts, what are your thoughts about all the snowballs coming on at the end of the game?
It was a little bit cheeky, but then at the same time, so I did actually have a bit of an opinion on this. Like,
yeah, go ahead.
The Chiefs players, like, not, what's the word, but like giving it to the crowd as well. So, like, you know, that. Yeah, like giving it and the bye-bye and stuff like that. So, like, you can't babyface after and be like, oh, why are we getting snowballs? Like, they're giving it to the crowd. So, you get what you give. But, like, my whole thing is, like, why do you, like, you're a professional athlete. Like, why do you feel the need to give shit? Yeah, like, they'll give you shit all day, but that's part of your job description. Like, you're going to cop some stuff over the sidelines, and whether that's right or wrong, that's just part of, you know, your role as an elite athlete. You're going to cop it in a hostile away environment. They're going to yell at you. But like, you've had the ultimate victory. You've won. You don't need to go, you don't need a showboat, turn around, like wave them goodbye, give them the shush and all that sort of shit. Like, yeah, like you're going to get some snowballs thrown at you. Like, what do you expect? But I just don't see the need for the showboating to the crowd, like at the crowd, like bye bye, see you later. Like, I don't know. I just don't like it.
It's just, I feel like that's just their competitiveness now because they are. Yeah. They, you know, they're probably trying to still red themselves up, like, you know, let's get snowballs thrown at us. Let's be the enemy. Let's be the heel team.
But I get that. But the game's over. They've won it. And, like, you're not playing the crowd. You're playing the team out there. I just don't feel like you get anything. It's like, it's ego. It's all ego.
Oh, but...
and, like, check your ego. And I don't think, be competitive out on the field and, like, go 100% against your opponent. And then at the end of the game, like, dap them up, say, awesome, great game, well done. You know, we'll see you next year kind of thing. But, like, I think it weakens your position when you feel the need to turn around and bye-bye the crowd and, like, blow them little kisses and shit like that. I think it makes you look weak and, yeah, I really don't like it.
Oh, I agree with you. I don't get me wrong, I agree with you. Just, like, but look at, like, who we're talking about. Like, there are so many NFL teams, a lot of it is ego.
Yeah. And that's fine, like, but celebrate with your teammates, like, but stay inside. When you have to go external and, like, get your motivation from the crowd and, like, members, they're just members of the public, like.
Yeah, that's it. And, like, and probably were, because it was on their bench, wasn't it? So they were probably giving it to them all day. But
and I get that. I get that. But you're getting paid multi-million dollars to play the sport. Like, that's an accepted part of it. You're going to cop some shit.
100%.
Get some snowballs, fuck. So what?
Yeah, and then to come out and be like, oh, they threw snowballs at us.
Well, obviously, like, there shouldn't be an uproar that they're getting snowballs thrown at them if you're carrying on like that.
Yeah, and like Kelsey threw the ball straight into the crowd, like, aggressively as well, like, just sent
that
it.
That was like a big upward launch, though, like, so I didn't mind that so much.
Yeah, but then, like, to get snowballs thrown straight back at you, of course it's going to happen. Like, you knew that.
Oh, you got to expect it. Like, so don't get upset if that's what's happening.
You're in Buffalo. It's lucky it's a snowball.
could be way worse.
All right, that was a massive divisional weekend. We do move on to the championship weekend, but before we do, we got to mention our good mates at C2C Rare Threads. Incredible stuff these guys have got. As it says on their website, represent in style. They have some Japanese baseball. They've got all the NBA, all the NFL, college stuff,
college.
And shoes. If you love shoes, it's definitely a place to hit up. Any Given Sunday for 10% off. These guys are great supporters. Before we get on to the championship week, we've had a few coaching roundabout carousel jumper on or on and offerers, as like we mentioned.
Well said.
Carts, we'll start with your Raiders. They've hired Antonio Pierce. Happy? Not happy?
Huge. He had the backing of the locker room and the players and everything like that. I think even Max Crosby came out and said, in not so many words, I'm leaving if you don't hire Pierce. So awesome. He obviously, you know, you get the new coach bump, but there was just marked improvement when he became interim coach this year. So happy with that. And also we grabbed the GM from the Chargers, Tommy Telesco. So
Telesco, he was let go mid-year, wasn't he?
He was let go, I think, the same week that Staley was. So in a little in-division sort of transfer for him. So interesting, but good. Happy with both those hirings.
And the Raiders have a past of bringing in an interim coach who does really well and then shipping him off. So good for you for getting him.
We changed the mind.
Couple of ones that, you know, again, like last year, in the background, DCs or defensive back rooms that are getting jobs, or OCs that are getting jobs. Titans with Brian Callahan, and Panthers with, is it Dave Canales?
Yeah.
Any of you heard of those boys?
Callahan, yes. Canales, whatever it could be. Haven't heard.
He was the quarterback coach for the Seahawks when Geno had his comeback year, and then he went to be the offensive coordinator at the Bucks this year when Baker Mayfield's kind of had a resurgence. So I think the Panthers have gone for this hire in the look of, like, you know, we've got Bryce Young.
We need help for Bryce. We've got to help him out somehow.
Yeah, we did everything to get Bryce. Let's make sure he performs. And he's like, so I think they're looking at the history that he's had over the past 2 years with getting Geno to where he needed to be. And obviously we've just seen what Baker's done, as much as he's not my favorite player of all time, but he has dramatically improved this year.
Yeah.
So I think that's why they've gone for this hire.
Yeah, perfect. I think we kind of touched on it last week with Jared Mayo getting the job at the Patriots. That was in the pipelines for quite a long time. So,
plan, so that's
they were calling him Jared Belichick for a while. So he is just the next man up. But the biggest one that has just been named in the last, I think it was the last 24, 48 hours, Jim Harbaugh is back in the NFL at the Chargers. Interesting fact, the Chargers play the Ravens, so the Harbaughs will play each other next year.
Oh, that's awesome. It's like the NFL knew that was happening.
Yeah. Is it scripted? You might say. He brought Michigan back into prominence in college. Can you do the same with Herbert and the Chargers?
I think they're doing everything they possibly can to get Herbert and the Chargers to take that next step, which everyone's kind of been expecting them to do for quite some time, and they've essentially come up short year after year. So I feel like this is going to be the best thing for him. I think Harbaugh gone there, like, he obviously sees something with this team. He wouldn't be joining, like, you know, I couldn't have seen him going to the Panthers or something like that. Like, you know, I can't see him joining a struggling team, not especially after the success he's had in college and the success he had at the 49ers, you know. So he obviously sees something with this team, and he reckons he can take them to that next level.
Yeah. Before we get on to the championship games, as much as these hires have been great, there's been some non-hires. We mentioned Bill Belichick. Vrabel hasn't gone anywhere. Old mate from the Seahawks, I've forgotten his name. Pete Carroll. What are your thoughts on these boys not getting jobs yet?
Well, so there's two teams left now, isn't it? It's just the Seahawks and the Commanders.
So the Falcons have, it's just been, I think, literally just as we were going to air, Raheem Morris is expected to be, I'm not 100% sure if it's been confirmed yet, but Raheem Morris to the Falcons, which was, I think you're about to say, Danny, where Bill has, the only interview Bill's done was with the Falcons.
And he had a second as well.
Mm.
Yeah, which is really interesting. The Falcons have obviously gone for a defensive-minded coach because he was the DC for the Rams. So, just interesting decision from the Falcons. But maybe Bill's done. Maybe that's it.
I still feel like it's like with these guys and the caliber of these guys, it's like them choosing where they want to go. So, I've got to feel like he's hasn't wanted the job. Like if he wanted it, it's his.
Yeah. I can't see him going, I want to come there.
Or like, you know, it was always leaning that he was going to the Chargers, but it's probably just the fact that he has all the leverage and it's like, all right, working out the deal or whatever. They've come to terms now, but it just feels like the ball's in Bill's court. Like, if he wants to go somewhere, he will.
Last thing before we move on from this, could you see those three especially going in, stepping back and going offensive or defensive coordinators?
No.
Vrabel, maybe. The other two, I think it's too hard. Like, they've been head coaches for so long. Like, I don't know. Does it not that they might be worried about that, but like, does it hurt their legacy taking a step back and going to a.
I don't reckon. Obviously, the Packers have just let Joe Barry go as our defense coordinator. If we had Bill Belichick as a defensive minded coach, his defenses have never given up, you know, anything. If he came in and just said, you know what, 2 years to go, I'll come in and be a DC. Oh, fuck, I'd love it.
Of course he'd love it, but I don't know if Bill wants to do that.
No, I reckon he does. We'll just heard it here first. All right, championship weekend. Well, championship Monday for us. Nice and early start, 7 a.m. for us and 10:30 the second game. But Chiefs-Ravens, first cab off the rank.
Yeah, that's the same.
Yep. Karts, I'm presuming you've got the lines and everything like that.
Yeah, so it's in Baltimore at, what's it called? M&T Bank Stadium.
M&T Bank.
The line is 4 points. Obviously, the Ravens are favourites there, so -4 to the Ravens. Head-to-head, the money is $1.50 for the Ravens, $2.65 for the Chiefs. And our total over-under is 44.5 points. So I think they're expecting, last I heard, like decent weather. So not going to be a snow game, not too much wind. So that sort of leans a bit more towards some higher scoring there. But yeah, 4 points is the line.
It's interesting as well. The last time the Chiefs faced the Ravens in the playoffs was 2010 wild card matchup and they lost. And then the last time, more recently, the Ravens faced the Chiefs in the regular season was in week two of 2021. And the Ravens actually got that done 36-35.
They've played some close matches, like the last few times they played. I think I saw a little graphic. It was four games going back to like 2018, and it's been like close games, like maybe an OT game here or there. Like some tight games. Like, I think you can expect this one to be pretty tight. The Chiefs, like stupid thing, the Chiefs are the Chiefs kind of thing, but I think just the Ravens have been such a wagon this year. Like their defense is like, and the question marks for the Chiefs have been around their receivers. And like Patrick Mahomes is not the issue. He's putting the ball where it needs to be. It's the receivers dropping all these balls. So you can't rely on Kelce and Rice for everything. You need to spread it around a little bit. So whether those guys step up or not, I think the Ravens are going to shut him out on the defensive side. And Lamar is obviously just going to do what Lamar does all the time. So yeah, I'm going to take the Ravens at home there.
Super interesting though, because like obviously Kelce came back and had such an amazing game. They got their connection back, which is like the first time properly. Like, you know, everyone's saying like, oh, Kelce lost his step in the last 8 weeks of the season. Everyone was talking like, oh, like, you know, is it gone? Is the connection not there and stuff? But then they just proved it last week that it is 100% there and it always has been. It was just, you know, everything else that was going on surrounding the team for that. So if I slightly disagree with your cards. If Mahomes can connect with Rice and Kelsey, one or the other, every play, or and rely on their running game with Pacheco.
You reckon that's enough?
Oh, I just think, like, obviously the NFL's scripted, so they're probably going to go.
They need Taylor at the Super Bowl.
100%. Like, yeah, mention, you know, join Usher for a little halftime show. No, I don't know. It's going to be a super tough matchup. It's going to be unbelievably close. It's probably going to come down to the defense and who can stop both these offensive juggernaut teams. Like, everything that Lamar's doing, Andrews is probably coming back.
We've said it every week.
From all reports, yeah.
But Isaiah Likely's filling in for Andrews anyway.
So. I know. So imagine he gets both those guys in. Oh.
Well, perfect. Like, you know, perfect situation for him. And, like, I just think the Ravens might have too many potential receivers and tight ends, you know, to confuse the defense enough that they might be able to slightly pick them apart. It's going to be such a tough matchup. I'm really excited for this one.
Mm.
I agree with you, Katz. I think 64% of the money is, I don't think, I know, 64% of the money is with the Baltimore Ravens. But I think that they're going to get the job done, and it's not because of Lamar. It's not because of Patrick Mahomes. It's not because of the Ravens' defense just absolutely shitting all over the Chiefs' receivers. It's because I'm not sure that Jason Kelce will be there shirtless. So I can't see the Ravens, the Chiefs getting up and about. If he's not there.
I can't believe we missed talking about that. We're so distracted by actual football. He was the MVP of that game. The Bills game.
I'm led to believe that he won't be there, so they can't win.
Why wouldn't he be there?
I think his missus might have had something. He said that was my one pass, and he's like, I've used it.
Oh, mate, surely.
That's what he told me on the weekend anyway on the phone.
Yeah.
We're just messaging back and forth. He said, my head's a bit sore the next day. And did you see him getting out of the box and then turning around and jumping back in?
That was okay. Getting back in was very impressive.
He was elite.
He just
springs in the calves.
Yeah. He's a big man. Doesn't mean he's not an athlete.
He's still an athlete.
High twitch fibers.
Yeah, but I do agree. I actually think, the Chiefs, they played pretty well. And like you said, the other Kelce, or Kelce, whichever way he wants to be known, and
what?
Rashid Rice. Did you not know about that? Apparently, Papa Kelce has come out and said, our name's actually Kelce, not Kelce, but that's another story. But the Bills defense has been absolutely plundered, and they were third, fourth, fifth, sixth stringers. That's not going to be the case with the Ravens. They are number ones all over the park. So I reckon they will just strangle them. You know, it could be close to halftime, but there'll be another speech from Lamar and they'll come out and they'll beat them.
There we go. Moving on. Just to be clear before, I'm also taking the Ravens because it's a matchup everyone wants to see. But I'll get to that after we talk about this next one.
Lions, Niners, 10:30. Both 12-5. So there you go. The Lions finished third in the conference, but they were both 12-5. Heading into, it's not Candlestick anymore.
Levi's Stadium.
Levi's.
Santa Clara.
Katz, you started last time. So Danny, thoughts?
Do you want the stats? Do you want the stats on the market?
Holy shit, Batman. Yeah, go on.
Over under, much higher here, 52 points. So expecting a lot more points on the board. But it is a 7-point line to the 49ers, who are also well ahead in the money head to head. $1.31, the lines are $3.50.
That's crazy to me. Like, that is a massive line. I wasn't expecting it to be that big, especially with the momentum that the Lions have coming into this. You know, they've got the whole city behind them. Almost half the world, you know, really want them to succeed right now, which is crazy. And especially with 49ers, like, carrying those injuries, we don't know what Debo is going to be like on the day or if he's even going to suit up. Like, we just don't know at this point. So it's crazy that there's that big of a line. Like, I know it's only a touchdown, but still, I was expecting maybe a field goal difference in the line. I was expecting the 49ers definitely playing at home to have it. But, like, Brock was on 100% himself last week. Oh, I don't know. I reckon the Lions are going to get this done.
Much better weather. So it says 20, which I'm presuming is Fahrenheit, but it's sunny. It's not going to be raining like it was there last week. I don't know. 75% of the money is with the 49ers, which, again, I'm agreeing with you, Danny. I reckon this is going to be a lot closer. So I'm definitely picking Lions at the under. Yes.
The line.
At the line.
Yeah. We're going to take them at the line. Yeah, that's right, because they're starting seven ahead. Yeah, I think, I agree. Like, if you're tipping with your head, you're going with the 49ers. If you're tipping with your heart, you're going with the Lions here, because, they're just the best story and all that sort of thing. The 49ers, aside from Debo, I was just having a quick look at the depth chart. Overall, their list much healthier. There's a few questionable guys for the Liners, even like Laporta. He's had that knee niggle that's sort of been hanging around for the last few weeks. Josh Reynolds is questionable. So a few guys on the offensive side of the ball just listed as questionable there for the Lions. So 49ers looking a little bit healthier overall. At home advantage as well. I think you got to take the 49ers, but yeah, I think it'll be a bit closer than what the bookies are thinking there with the line at 7. So I think the line will cover.
I saw something amazing on the internet and I just got to share it. So it's talking about the Super Bowl that, you know, everyone wants. We're probably looking at the Ravens and the Lions, right? That's the Super Bowl that everyone wants to happen. The Super Bowl that most people are expecting is probably the Ravens and the 49ers. And then the Super Bowl that's in the script, it's probably going to be the Chiefs and the Lions, isn't it?
That would be, yeah, that, like, in script-wise, that's the one.
Why would that be the one in the script? I would have thought Chiefs 49ers would be the script.
No, because the Chiefs with the Swifties, and then Lions are the best story. The Lions are the best story.
Yeah, the Lions are the best story. Like, they've been the best story all year. It's like, you know, they've actually finally got there, you know, after 32 years. Getting to this point, obviously they're the ones in the script,
and then also Eminem versus Taylor Swift.
How do you not realize that, Macca?
Yeah.
Which then would create that could go down as the best halftime show of all time.
Oh my god!
The battle
went out and
had a rap battle at halftime.
And now your biggest celebrity for the halftime show.
Gross. I'm going to actually pick the Lions.
Oh, see, I don't mind it. Like. Here is tipping the Lions, but up here it's like, no, 49.
I don't know. I just they didn't look great last week. Brock Purdy, I don't know. If they can get to him, they can shut him down. And they definitely are a better defense than what the Packers have been all year. Or in the last 2 weeks, we've been pretty well. But over the journey, they've been a better defense. So they can shut down a few things and just get to Purdy. I reckon they can get the job done.
Yeah, I'm tipping the Lions as well. Let's see it happen. Let's see the script come true.
I like it.
Yeah, so you're actually going for
it. I said 49ers.
All right, last thing to wrap this up. This is where I think the script comes in.
The last thing.
Colour of the logo, the Super Bowl logo.
We've already done this, I think. We've already done this.
Have we? Do you read into it?
I think we have. No.
I read into it. It's going to be Ravens Niners.
Yeah. Purple and red.
Make sure you're all free Monday checking out the game.
Last thing. Obviously, everyone can see under that hat that Mac is still holding on to a few feathers under there. So make sure, keep the pressure on. It's Pro Bowl weekend. He has to shave the head. So for losing the Lock of the Week competition. So I just wanted to make sure everyone is aware of that.
It's Chrome Dome week.
Keep the pressure on.
Yeah.
Chrome Dome week.
I'll give you
you don't have to go to skin. You can just clip it down to like a zero on the clippers. You don't have to go to skin.
All right. I reckon I can swing that a little bit more.
Yeah.
All right. Sweet. Boys, enjoy Monday. And as always, go the Packers.
Have a bloody great weekend, everybody.
Yeah, boys.
Yeah.